week, I talked to you about what demons are attracted to. Told you that they're attracted to the light. So if you've got light in you, I can tell you right now, you've got a target on your back. Okay? That's what we talked about last week. This week, I'm going to talk to you about what angels are drawn to. The spirit, the angels of God. What are they drawn to? I'm going to tell you it in a word. I'm going to tell you what draws angels in a word, and then we can go on. Consumed with God. Consumed with God. If you're consumed with God, the angels can only move by what is in you. Got scripture to back it up. Jeremiah 29:13. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search me with all of your heart. When you search for God with all of your heart, I'm going to explain something to you, just a little tiny Bible study. I think this is going to help you understand what the word seek means. Now, if we're seeking God, why are we seeking the God that we already have? Think about it. You already got him. What are you seeking? What are you seeking if you're seeking after God? Seeking God in that way is for people who don't know him. But what about us that know him? You know what that word in the Hebrew means? To seek God is to desire God. As believers, that word seek is desire. So when your desire for God is consuming you, that draws your angels. Your desire is to be only for God. Now I'm going to tell you a story. A few years back, when I became a pastor here, I had a desire to pay off my house. And does anybody have a desire to pay off your house? A car, a bill? You desire, like, oh, I just want to pay that off. It's getting down a little bit every month, but I just want to pay it off. Well, I had a desire in my heart. Now, I didn't put the desire there. Because the American way is that everybody has a mortgage. Everybody has a car payment. No big deal. But God's way is what? We're out of debt. So I had a desire in my heart. And it was there. You know, I didn't say every day, Lord, I have a desire to pay off my house. But every once in a while when I would have paid my bills or whatever, I'd go, I wonder when I'm going to be able to pay off my house. And he told me, I thought, 2 years ago, you're going to pay your house off within 3 years. I'm going to give you the desire of your heart. It's because I'm consumed with God. I'm not perfect. But I choose him more over than anything. I would tell Tom all the time, hold on to this house, what we have, loosely. Hold on to God tightly. Our desires is what moves the spirits in our life to minister to us. So, on January 10th, let me finish my story. On January 10th, just a few days ago, the Lord paid off my house. I'm blown away, shocked. A few people knew it already because I couldn't wait to tell somebody. And what I want to tell you is this. What he does for one, he will do for another. Amen. He is no respecter of persons, and he will do for you what he's done for me. And I'll tell you something. If you're under a leadership of any kind, that stuff in that person's life flows to you. Did you know that? And when you're under any pastor, any leadership, their anointing and mantle flows to you. So I'm going to give you a prophetic word for today to be out of debt. I don't know who's in debt, but I'm praying that the Lord move in your life as he did in mine. For he is no respecter of persons, and he will do for me and he'll do for you. I'm speaking that into somebody's life right now. So the word I'm gonna read this passage again. Matthew 6:33, actually. Seek in the Greek means to desire. Find in the Greek means to attain. Search in the Greek means to resort to. And heart means the inner man. So let me read the scripture again. And you shall desire me and attain me when you resort to me with your inner man. Doesn't that make more sense than seeking? Seeking what? You already got him. You're trying to sit in a chair you're already sitting in. So let's take a look at those words again. We desire him with our whole heart. You know, when you desire something, you're consumed, aren't you? Right now, what do you desire? What is your desire? Because that consumes you. The Bible says that where your heart is, there is where your treasure is. So what do you value the most is your desire. What's in your heart is your desire. Do you want your desires to change? Then ask God, Lord, change my desires. He's the one that puts it in you anyway. Like I said, I could care less if I could pay off my house. I knew it was good to be out of debt, but I figured everybody has a house payment. Everybody has a car payment. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He wants you free because you are then subject to the lender. You got to do what they say. The Bible says in Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. How do you delight yourself in the Lord? By desiring him. So I want everybody to think about it right now, and I want you to just agree with me and just simply say this. Lord, say with me, Lord, I desire you alone. Everything else will come to me out of the desire for you. You know, the scripture tells us that seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But no, we're adding ourselves to all these things, and we're not really desiring God. Remember, seeking is one thing. You've got to desire him. Ask the Lord to give you a new desire, because that's what draws your angels, too. Be aware. Be aware of God's presence in your life. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. It doesn't mean you have to be on your knees, crawling around on your knees, praying. It means that in your attitude and in your heart, continually desire the Lord. Know that he's at work in your life. Believe that what he said he's going to do, he's going to do. Has he made a promise? You know, there's some promises he's told me that have not been fulfilled yet, but I haven't given up. Don't ever give up on your promises. Don't ever give up on what God has told you he's going to do for you. Because he will do it if you do not faint. Angels are attracted to the word of God. Now, what words are you speaking out of your mouth? Think about it. What are you? Are you speaking negative and defeatist words? I can't do it. It's too hard. My life is in the pits and nothing good happens to me. Or are you speaking words of righteousness? Psalm 103:20 says this. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. The angels can only do his word. So as your angels twiddling their thumbs, waiting for you to speak righteously, we all have angels assigned to us. The scripture tells us that a ministering angel will be assigned to you who will be heirs of salvation. In other words, the angels know if you're going to be saved or not. Did you know that? They know. They know. The devil knows. And the devil wants to rob you before you even experience this with the Lord. Bless the Lord. He's telling, David is saying this to his angels. Did you know that David was talking to the angels? Wow. He says, bless the Lord, you his angels. In other words, angels, bless God. That's what he's telling the angels to do. I think that's pretty cool.
Amen.
Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? You all have been given a ministering angel. If we were to look with our spiritual eyes into the dimension where the angels are, this room would be full. Are they sitting down or are they standing with their swords drawn? If they're sitting down, you better start speaking the word so that they stand up with their swords drawn. There's also a scripture that talks about little angels. The angels, they're not little, they're actually quite big. The angels are beholding the little children's faces. You've ever seen a little child in a little chair looking like, they're laughing, they're giggling. They're looking at their angels. Right, Justin? They're seeing their little angels. They're not little. I keep saying that. Little people are seeing big angels. They're cooing and awing. Now, if they could talk, what would they say? Angels are not cherubs. They're not little fat babies flying around. The devil wants you to think they're little and they have no power. But if you look at what an archangel is, Gabriel, there's several angels that came and visited the different people in the Bible. See, the angels come and help you manifest in the physical what is going on in the spiritual. So last week I was in the bathroom putting on makeup, as is my custom. Sometimes I forget, but anyway. And I just was, you know, in the mirror, and all of a sudden I sensed the presence, and I thought Tom was coming in the door. So I turned around, and there was nobody there, and I go, ha, it's my angel. So I just lifted up my arm and gave him a big hug. Have you hugged your angel lately? Isaiah 63:9 says this, it's a promise. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days until they are old, Ron. All the days until they are old, Ron. Your angel is carrying you.
Amen.
So let's take a look at some of the angels in the Bible real quickly. Now, first of all, I brought this picture. Now, this is interesting. I don't know if you want to, I'll put it up here. This is normally what we see the angels looking like, little cherubs, or this one doesn't have wings, but it's holding a bow and arrow kind of thing. And I had it hanging in my bathroom. And I would do women conferences at my house, and a woman come in and said, "That's me." This was her as a baby. So I got to actually meet the person of this photograph. But here's the thing I'm trying to say. It's just a photograph. This is not a real angel, what a real angel looks like. They are massive and huge and way grander. So the progression of the angels. And Elizabeth was visited by Gabriel. Okay? Jesus' mother was visited by Gabriel. And Gabriel is a messenger, by the way. Then Joseph, Mary's husband, was visited in a dream by the angel Gabriel. And the shepherds were visited by the angel Gabriel. The messengers of God. Mark 1:13 is about Jesus' encounter with angels. And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered to him. It doesn't say angel. Angels. You know, there's a passage of scripture, and it talks about when Jesus was in the garden, and one of his soldier guys thought he was going to be all tough and everything. He cut the ear off of one of the soldiers. And Jesus said, "Put that sword away. Don't you know? Don't you know that I can call 12,000 legions of angels to come to my aid?" That's 60,000, 40,000 angels? That's a lot of angels. Actually, let me correct that because it's real important to get the word right. He said, I will call upon my Father who will send the angels. We don't pray to angels, people. I have some friends down the street that they totally kicked God out to the curb, and it's all about angels now. Me and her used to pray together and sing songs together, go to church together, and her little daughter died. And since that point, she's completely rejected God, but she's got her angels. It's sad. How about Matthew 4:11? The devil left Jesus when he was in the wilderness, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. You know, the angels come at the right time. As a matter of fact, the angel came to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane to strengthen him. See, the angels come to strengthen you. They come to protect you. They come to help you. The male.
Angel.
Close the laptop real quick, and then I'll open it up when it's time.
Might be from God.
This is funny. Okay, so you know how on your house you have the kids' heights on the wall? You got, 2 years old, 20, whatever. Tom added an arrow God. He's on the wall too.
We step on him.
The angels were at the tomb. The angels were sitting at the head and at the foot in the tomb when the women came to find Jesus. Psalm 34, 7 through 9 says, the angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivered them. You know, the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Jesus. That's what is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. He was there in the Old Testament. But what I'm getting at is that the angels will come pass around you who do not fear. Fear draws the devil. Fearlessness draws your angels. There's some spiritual things going on out there. You need to know your angels, what they're doing. So who was the first person in the Bible to see an angel? You'll be surprised. Does anybody know? This is like a trivia question. The least of all people saw an angel first, and it was Hagar, Sarah's handmaiden. She was the first person. It says a non-Israelite, a woman with no power or status, is the first person in Scripture to be visited by an angel, and the only person in Scripture to give God a name, El Roy, the God who sees me. In the midst of her pain and struggle, Hagar receives God's blessings and promises. I like that because in the midst of us just going, I just want to die, God rescues us. I'm going to tell you something now. This is kind of out there. Maybe some of you will receive it. Some of you will look at me with crossed eyes. But I remembered about, 20 years ago, I wasn't doing very well health-wise. I just didn't want to be on the earth anymore. I don't know if anybody's ever thought that in your life. And so I went out to the back deck, and I thought, if I just jumped, it'll all be over. And I was just ready to just jump and just be gone. The minute I stood there and said that, I felt this presence touch me. And from being a rag doll, I stood up, took a deep breath, and I was back. An angel visited me at my direst need. God sends angels. Sometimes you don't ask for things. Sometimes God just says, that person really needs you right now. I'm going to send you in that direction. It was another time, and I'm going to tell you this encounter. I was driving my car from work, and it was dark, and I was a little frightened at the time of driving at night without knowing where I'm going. And it was very dark. There was no street lights. Because it was a detour, because there was some debris on the road, and they were cleaning it up, so I had to go on this detour. I'm like biting my nails, sweating. All of a sudden, there's an angel. And I wasn't afraid anymore.
You know, the first thing they say, though, is, fear not. Whenever you see an angel, I wasn't afraid. I was happy to see my angel. I see you, so I'm driving down, and this angel's flying next to me. So I'm just kind of going around, and I get to the familiar grounds where I need to be, and the angel takes off. And I noticed where it was going. There was a bunch of guys working on a power pole for electricity, PG&E guys, and he was over there helping them. And I just went on my way. See, the Lord sends angels according to that need. Don't ignore this. This is huge. God is sending you a message here today. When I was obedient the other day by not going in to a building that the Lord told me not to, anybody can go. The place was packed. There was lots of people in there, but God said no to me. Don't go in there. So I didn't. And I thought, that's not a big thing. He says this to me. Sometimes the smallest act leads to our greatest victory. And that's the next day I paid off my house. Wow. The next day I paid off my house. 1 Samuel 15:22 says, obedience is better than sacrifice. You can give up your money, you can give up, but if you don't obey, you might as well forget it. Obedience is better. Exodus 23:20 says, behold, I send an angel before you to keep you in your way and to bring you into a place where I have prepared for you. Do you believe that's for you? It is for you. It's in Exodus in the Old Testament. It's to the Israelites. It's to the nation of Israel. But we are grafted in and we are his now. We are part of this body of believers. And so this is for you. Behold, God sends an angel before you to keep you in your way, to bring you into a place where he wants you to be. How many of us go in places we know we're not supposed to be? We heard some pretty funny stories this morning in Bible study. I'm not going to say what they are, because I thought that was pretty cool that we all struggle in this area to go where we are supposed to go and be who we are supposed to be. Because like last week I said, sometimes we're this person in this situation. Sometimes we're this person in that situation. Oh, my family's coming over. I've got to be like this in this situation. No, we need to be who we are. Will the real Linda please stand up? Matter of fact, I'm writing a new book. It's called, Will the Real You Please Stand Up? I'm excited about that book. We'll see how it goes. Last week I told you it's hard. It's going to be a hard year. I'll tell you why it's going to be hard. It's because you won't be obedient. Obedience is easy. Obedience makes things smooth. You just do what God tells you and it'll be okay. The minute it starts to be hard is when you start struggling with what he wants you to do. Let's say somebody treats you badly. Oh, they treated me so bad. You go call 14 people and man, you're making it worse than it was instead of just saying, Father, I forgive them. That's obedience, right? Why put yourself through all that and all you got to say is, I forgive them. Being a Christian is more easy than you know. We make it difficult because we don't want to do it. How about the story of Lot? I like this story. Genesis 19:1, it says, and there came two angels to Sodom, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground, and he said, get this, behold my lords. I thought he said they were angels. Why is he calling them my lords now? All right, now get this one. I pray you into your servant's house, tarry with me at night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up and go your way. And they said, no, we will abide in the street all night. And then verse 5 it says, and they called unto Lot and said to him, where are the men? Okay, so now the people on the outside are calling into these people to have them come out because they wanted to have unnatural relations with them. And the people outside called them men. So first they're angels. Then they're lords, and now they're men. Let me tell you something here. You're going to see things according to your belief system. You know, when Jesus was baptized, and there was a voice from heaven that said, lo, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Some people heard it. Some people heard thunderings and lightnings. Or thunderings, you don't hear lightning, but thunderings. Because they weren't available in their spirit to receive the word of God. You're going to see things differently. You can tell the same story. You can witness the same thing but have a different story to tell. Because of your perception and where you are in your spirit. I like this scripture. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, last week I told you that it's hard. No, it's not hard if you would take on Jesus and believe and do what he says. When God told me not to go into that building, let me tell you what that building was. It was bingo. I love bingo. It was at a Catholic church, for crying out loud. Isn't that spiritual? Okay, so this is what happened. I'm telling you as a family. So I'm sitting out there, and I said, well, why can't I go in? You're with me, because, you know, the Holy Spirit is with me, and wherever I go, whether I go to a bar, whether I go to a friend's house, whether I go to bingo, you're with me. He goes, yes, I'm with you, but your angels are going to be waiting outside. They ain't going in there. This is how he talks to me. I said, why? He said, because I'm not in there. That's what he told me. That's just me. You can do what you want with it. That's what he told me. Because of the gods and the things that they trust in, moreover, than they don't trust Jesus. See, God wants you to believe in the Lord Jesus alone, not in saints, not in your angels, not in a pastor, not in a priest, not even in the Pope. You know what the Pope said recently? I got to throw this out here. He said that homosexuality is not a sin. He just said that. I'm sorry, but I think that the Catholics are being duped and they need to be saved. There are some in there that are. I love the Catholic people. They love the Lord, but they're being duped by a pope. That's my political stand. That's all I have to say about that. Okay. So how about the story of Jacob? And I'm going to close with this. The Jacob, remember Jacob's ladder? Remember the story of Jacob's ladder? He was laying on, he had rocks for his pillow. And he's like laying on these rocks. In this thing, he had just sent his family away from him. He went out to be with the Lord alone. I think that's a good clue too. Be with the Lord alone sometimes. Okay, so you might want to put some pillows under your head. And he was laying there in a dream. He was visited by angels that he saw them ascending and descending from the stairway. So sometimes the angels come in dreams. He says, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was setting. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. What a vision. You know, I was watching a show this morning on YouTube about people seeing this ladder in lots of their visions and dreams. I believe it's possible for us to experience that. Genesis 32:1 says this, and Jacob then, after all this, went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. The angels around us are drawn to your desire, to you being ever filled with God. Michael, the archangel, is a warrior. That's his role. Raphael, you don't hear about him too much. He's a guardian. Gabriel is a messenger. And then there are those that are angels that are heirs that are going to help and be messengers to those who will have salvation. Now, when Mary was visited by Gabriel, he didn't stay, did he? He had to go do something else. He went and did some other stuff. But it doesn't mean Mary didn't have her angels with her all the time. I want you to just ask the Lord with me that we can see in the realm of the Spirit. Because the Bible says to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I think if we worship Him in that spirit place, we'll be able to experience this dimension that He wants us to see. Now I'm going to tell you something else that's going to happen. The enemy dwells in the same spiritual realm, people, because he's a spirit. So it's up to you to decide. When you start seeing that enemy come at you, you can just say, I ain't listening to you. I'm not looking at you. I'm pretty sure you've heard him speak to you. You just let him go. So what do angels do? They protect the righteous. They dwell in heaven. They act as God's warriors, and they worship God. Do you know they worship God all day long? And if they're sitting here doing nothing, what they're doing is worshiping God on your behalf. You are not alone. You are never alone. And then I just want to read this to you. It's in closing. We have the Holy Spirit within us to do great and mighty things. Through us, to dwell in us, to teach us, to seal us for salvation. But the angels are around us to keep our feet from falling, to protect us from accidents, to keep us, to help us walk the straight and narrow. Today, hearken to God. We don't pray to angels, we pray to God who dispatches them as needed. They can intervene and intercede on behalf of humans.